Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Podcast. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice. Our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Well, hi everyone, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. I have a really great podcast ready for you today. I really think you're going to learn a lot today. We are going to be talking about stress, pain, and mosquitoes. Yeah, you heard me. Stress, pain, and mosquitoes. Now, I'm going to tease that a little bit, but it has to do with the mind-body relationship and how our thoughts can literally create physical pain. And I'll show you how, if you change your thoughts, you may just be able to change your pain. So the link between stress and physical pain this week on The Healthy Mind. In the second half of the podcast, in health news, wow, some pretty incredible news that came out as it relates to emotional disorders and genetics, kind of the biological underpinning of these emotional disorders, something we talk about a lot here on The Healthy Mind. Well, they found a common link to these disorders, and I'm going to share that with you, what the disorders are and what this link has been. A landmark study, huge study. We'll talk about that. Also, would you believe the color of your nightlight, that little light that you have on when you go to bed, the color of that light can affect your mood? Oh, yeah. You're going to want to know what color you should be switching your nightlight to this evening. All right. We'll talk about that. We're going to do some headlines, a jam-packed podcast. I'm really happy that you're here today. So, are you ready? Let's begin. Okay. Now, this week on The Healthy Mind, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and we've talked about it before, but I want to come at it in a little different way this week on the podcast, the mind-body relationship between stress, emotion, and our physical well-being, specifically pain, how stress can literally affect our pain or create pain. Now, for those of you who may be new to the podcast, and if you are, welcome. But if you're new, you may not know that my area of interest is in this relationship between emotions and physical pain. And not just this relationship that, oh gosh, I'm in pain, of course I'm going to have more depression, how do I treat that? But the fact that the stress that we feel, the emotions that we have, can literally create physical pain. And there are a host of reasons as to why and how that happens. But to illustrate a little bit about what I mean here, I want you to go on a journey with me, okay? Now, if you're driving, don't close your eyes, okay? But I want you to think about something right now. Picture yourself sitting at home. You've just come in from outside, and like most of us, we tend to leave the door open a little bit in the spring and the summer. And if we haven't shut it in time, well, sure, things can fly in. And some of the things, at least that are the most annoying, are mosquitoes. And I don't know where you live in the country, but here in Ohio, the mosquitoes are out of control this summer. But picture a few of those coming in, right? And you're sitting in your chair in the family room trying to relax, or better yet, you're in your bed, right? And all of a sudden, you start hearing that buzzing. You know, that familiar buzzing of the mosquito flying past your ear. Now, picture it landing somewhere on your neck or on your face. You feel it, you wipe it, and then you try to relax, but the mosquito comes back and it's flying around. Maybe it lands on your face again and maybe moves around. I want you to picture that. Just picture you laying there and that happening. Okay, another thing I want you to picture. I want you to focus on your arm and picture there being a real bad itch on it right now. Wherever you want, maybe on the top of your arm, maybe near your elbow, wherever. But I want you to picture that. Picture that in your mind. It's an itch. It's bad. You want to scratch it, right? You really, really want to scratch it. It's so itchy. Okay, now this is going to be the last one, I promise you. Say you and I are sitting down, we're having a conversation, and you confide in me. You tell me something that you'd be embarrassed or really ashamed of if it got out, okay? Doesn't have to be anything huge, but just the fact that you'd be embarrassed if your friends knew about this, right? So the next time we're with your friends, well, I'm a big old blabbermouth, and I just decide to say, hey, did you know that? And I tell them everything. And you're really embarrassed. The question is, what color do you think your face will turn at that moment? Okay, now, this is connected. You're probably sitting there saying, what is Zafiridis doing? I mean, this is my first time listening to this podcast. What's going on with this shrink? Okay, there's a purpose here. Stress, which is really emotions, which is really thoughts, they have an impact. They're so important in our emotional and also physical well-being. How many of you, when you were thinking about that mosquito flying around on your face, maybe scratched your face or touched it, rubbed it? Or when I talked about that itch on your arm, did you feel it? Did you maybe go and scratch it or rub your hand? And certainly, if I embarrassed you in front of your friends, well, what would happen? Your face would flush red, right? It's a common reaction. But in all of these examples, there was a thought that directly related to a physical reaction in your body. We get a physical reaction. So when I start talking about the relationship between stress or mood, anxiety, and physical pain, I try to show these types of examples first as a means by which for people to understand where it's already happening in our body, but we may not be associating it with much discomfort, right? I mean, we feel kind of embarrassed when, you know, someone makes fun of us and our face flushes red, but we don't think about it all the time. It passes. But for some people, and this may be you, the emotions themselves are going to result in physical reactions. And in this case, it's going to result in physical pain. And this is this mind-body relationship that I'm interested in and I talk a lot about here on The Healthy Mind. Now, why do I bring all of this up? Well, let's take it a step further here with anxiety. We react in very interesting ways when we are under a lot of stress, when we are on a deadline, or when something very difficult has happened to us, or very traumatic events occur. And I've talked about it before here, and if you have a chance, I'd really encourage you to read the article up on The Healthy Mind. It's an older article, and it's got a bit of a strange name, but Corruption: Why Good People Will Defend Bad Systems. It's one of the most popular articles on the website. But this whole idea of system justification states that when people are under a severe amount of stress or trauma, they will, by default, all of us will defer to authority or authority figures. Even if what the authority figures are saying either doesn't make sense or is wrong. Now, what does this have to do with emotions and chronic pain? Well, we hear these messages all the time, especially those of us that may suffer with chronic pain, that the pain is going to be chronic. The pain is never going to go away. You have to learn to live with it. It's just not going to change. And we don't get a whole lot of evidence that it ever will change, right? Because you're still hurting. When you've been marginalized, when you have been pushed aside, a pain patient who doesn't really feel like they're being listened to, we become vulnerable, we become anxious, we become withdrawn, but in essence, we're stressed. And that stress is going, just by nature, by being a human being, is going to defer to authorities, doctors, medical professionals who say it's not going away, or here's the exact reason why you're in pain, this disc, or something wrong with your spine, or arthritis. And we incorporate that as our belief system. Never mind whether or not it is true or not, the vulnerability that we feel, the stress that we are under, or some of the trauma that we may have suffered in our life that has led to some of this physical pain, leaves us vulnerable. And we take in these messages and we self-fulfill this chronic pain. Now, don't get me wrong here. Before I go any further, there are pain disorders, structural reasons, biological, anatomical reasons why people are in pain. You always want to rule those out. But I'm talking about pain that hasn't gone away at all, or doctors that are saying, we don't know why you're still in pain. We can't tell you. Or they say there's nothing wrong with your back or your stomach or your legs. This is what I'm talking about. And thoughts matter. Thoughts matter so much. And this is one of the recurring messages that you'll hear from me here on The Healthy Mind. Our thoughts matter, both the ones that we come up with and the ones that we hear. And our emotional state in the moment when we get these messages or have these thoughts are going not only to affect our state of mind and our mood, but can literally affect the way that we are physically feeling. So what's a person to do, right? Well, I firmly believe change the message, you'll change your pain. If it is this mind-body pain, when you change the message to yourself, you will change the pain. Unfortunately, I don't have a quick fix in the time frame of this podcast to tell you exactly how to do that, but people have done it. First off, it's just important to understand that this relationship exists and allow that to sink in. But then a critical part of it is the belief that your emotions are adding or causing some of this pain. And for some people, that's not an easy road or bridge to cross. And I get that. But when people do, I have seen dramatic changes in their lives. Some of the methods that Dr. John Sarno talked about with TMS, tension myositis syndrome, and the work that many of us in the PPDA, the Psychophysiologic Disorders Association, are doing to raise awareness of this. I mean, a new study just came out just a couple days ago that shows, in general, physicians just aren't that good at treating chronic pain, dealing with it, and adequately treating it. And I think it's because we're missing this psychological component to it. And the fact that when we're vulnerable, we will defer to authority and their messages. And when they're saying it's not going to get better, you're going to take that in and believe it. And that belief and those thoughts and that stress will continue that pain. But please don't ever think that that pain will stay forever. You can make the changes. You can make those changes. People have. I've seen it. I've lived it personally. And the sense of empowerment that you get when you can allow yourself to make that connection and take that chance of working towards that process to relieve your pain, when you take that step, it is huge. And so many people have freed themselves from pain. And that could be you. Our stress, our pain, and that powerful mind-body relationship. Believe in it. Believe in it. Because when you do, you have just taken a very, very important step down your road to a healthy mind. And now, it's time for news. Okay, well, another busy week of news. This first story, especially if you're suffering from depression or bipolar disorder or even ADHD and autism, the headline, Five Emotional Disorders Share a Common Genetic Link. This was a huge study where scientists discovered a common genetic link between depression, bipolar, ADHD, autism, and schizophrenia. You know, the root cause of these emotional disorders, the biological parts of these disorders, and there's many people who don't believe that these emotional disorders have a biological basis, despite all the evidence that is out there. And when I say a biological basis, I'm not saying that that is the only factor in people getting depressed. But the root causes of these things have been really hard to find. They've been elusive. We've never really understood it. And how much these factors are related or these disorders are related, where they share common ground, has been kind of hard to find. But until now, for the first time ever, an international group of scientists have found that five emotional disorders, bipolar disorder, major depression, schizophrenia, autism, and ADHD all share a common genetic link. And this group now is moving to understand kind of the molecular underpinnings, the biological underpinnings. They found some of these genetic links, but now how does this all fit biologically so that we can now maybe find new ways to treat these disorders? That's the exciting part here. According to the study, senior author Dr. Kenneth Kendler from Virginia Commonwealth University School of Medicine, quote, "This is a very large-scale study using a new innovative statistical method." And Dr. Kendler is really internationally known as one of the top geneticists when it comes to psychiatric disorders. He goes on to say, quote, "Prior to this model, we have not been able to address these questions at all. These results give us by far the clearest picture available to date of the degree of genetic similarity between these key psychiatric disorders." And really, there was a study that had come out a few months ago in the journal Lancet, and in my article that I have up on The Healthy Mind regarding this particular study, there's a link to that study. But what they found was there were specific genetic changes known as SNP, or fancy name, single nucleotide polymorphisms, that were associated with a wide range of psychiatric disorders that can occur either during childhood or adulthood. But it is an amazing new study and really the first of its kind. And again, it goes to emphasize or validate the fact that there are biological underpinnings to these emotional disorders. The genetics support that, and these new studies help to validate this biology of mood, emotional illness. And hopefully, what I hope for is that because of that, people feel more comfortable with the idea that they might have an emotional disorder or get treatment. So much stigma, even today, that studies like this that talk about the biology, the proof of the biology, can only help to lower the stigma. And that is a very, very good thing. Okay, now this next piece of news comes from my alma mater, Ohio State University, and I just had to include it because it was I just thought it was so interesting. Would you believe that the color of your nightlight can have an impact on your mood? Oh yeah, the headline, "What nightlight color improves your mood?" And this was in a newly published animal study out of Ohio State University. Researchers here found that blue light had the worst effects on mood, followed very closely by white light. Now, the scientists had said absolute darkness is the best, but red was the least likely to cause depressive symptoms. What they did was expose hamsters to various types of lights, red, blue, nothing, white light. And what they found was the exposure to red light had significantly less evidence of depressive-like symptoms and changes in the brain that were linked to depression. And where the researchers found that this could be beneficial to us is that it may have important implications for human beings, particularly those who may work on night shifts that can predispose you to have mood disorders when you start messing with your sleep-wake cycle. It may be that lights that are a bit red may actually help the person who's maybe at risk for emotional disorders, according to Dr. Randy Nelson from the Ohio State University and co-author of the study. Quote, "Our findings suggest that if we could use red light when appropriate for night shift workers, it may not have some of the negative effects on their health that white light does." And what they did was they looked at the role of certain cells that are sensitive to light in the retina. They're known as IPRGCs. You don't need to know that. But they detect light and then send messages to our brain that helps regulate our sleep-wake cycle. But where it relates to depression is that these cells also send messages to the part of the brain that controls our emotions. And that's where they think the connection is. Various wavelengths of light stimulate those cells in the retina, and because they're connected to the parts of our brain that have to do with emotions, certain colors of light may make mood symptoms or the risk of that worse, while others, like the red color, actually is not bad, and it may not cause very many problems with the mood. Now, another part here that they looked at was, and we've talked about this before as well, the part of the brain known as the hippocampus or the memory center in the brain. They looked at what the neurons, the nerve cells in the hippocampus were doing, and it was consistent. The hamsters that were exposed to blue light or white light actually got shrinkage of those neurons in the memory centers of the brain, whereas the red light didn't have that type of shrinkage. Now, this is important because in humans, there is an association with a smaller hippocampus, size of the hippocampus and those cells that shrink, and depression. So this link was found there. So it's not just the fact that the light affects the retina and then links to the brain emotional centers, but that these light wavelengths, the different colors of light, may also affect the hippocampus, which also affects our mood. So a new study out of Ohio State University may have you seeing red at night, but you'll be feeling better for it.
Okay, with the time that we have left, I just want to blast through the rest of the news in a segment I like to call the Healthy Mind Headlines.
Okay, the first headline. Children with allergy and asthma may be at higher risk for ADHD. A new study has found that there is an increased risk of ADHD in boys that have a history of allergy or asthma. The study also found that there's an increased risk of ADHD in boys with a history of asthma and an even stronger risk associated with milk intolerance. The next headline. Women with a history of childhood physical abuse are more likely to become obese adults, according to a new study by University of Toronto researchers. Results indicate that women who were physically abused in childhood were more likely to be obese than women from non-abusive homes. And finally, this one was great. Competition changes how we view strangers online. An anonymous stranger you encounter on websites like Yelp or Amazon may seem to be just like you and a potential friend. But a new study reveals that a stranger on a site like eBay is a whole different story. The study found that on websites where people compete against each other, assumptions and feelings about strangers begin to change. I think we've all been there if we're if we're fighting for whatever we are hoping to win at auction on eBay. Oh, boy. Sometimes I am, I don't even want to say it. I'm spouting off like a sailor. Not proud to admit it, but I have. So I can relate to this study and would absolutely agree with the results. Sadly, I do agree. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's just about going to do it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for subscribing to the newsletter. You can do so right there on the homepage. I'll tell you, we're creeping up on about 600 subscribers. I am so proud of all of you. Thank you so much for doing that. I appreciate the ratings on iTunes as well. If you haven't done so yet and you're so moved, I would really appreciate it, and I thank you in advance. The website is always thehealthymind.com. I tweet at Dr. Zafiridis. And any questions you may have, comments, anything, I want to hear from you. Don't hesitate to get in touch with me. You can email me at peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on the Healthy Mind.